Amen. Well, last week we talked about the spirit of the thief, okay? And I think I can quote it by heart. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And now that's the negative side of the verse. Jesus always added the positive side to things, and I want...
The word always finishes with the positive.
Yeah, and I wanted to say that, but I am come that ye might have life and have it more. Is the word more in there?
Yeah,
I think it is. More abundantly. Amen. So I'm just quoting it from... I'm just laying that out as a foundation of where we were last week. We went into great detail. There were three actions of this spirit of the thief. One was stealing, one was killing, the other is destroying. And we went into great depth about how the many, many practical ways that the thief is out to rob us, not just of our finances, by the way. The robbing is of everything of our life, the joy, the satisfaction, the walk with the Lord, the walk in victory. It's robbing us of that. So many ways the thief. It's practical. Anyway, we made a recording. I felt that maybe somebody would want to play that. All right, now let's go into the other side. I'm not going to go into the killing. We know what killing is. Killing is when you die. Satan, by the way, hates everything that God has done. He hates every principle. He hates everything that God, every foundation of the kingdom of God. He hates it, hates it, hates it. We're seeing that hatred in today in the new mode of thinking that is becoming very popular in the land today. The thinking that God didn't just make them male and female. He must have made a whole lot of other genders too, because Satan is making all these other genders. And I was telling you how this one was a governor of one of the states where one of his people came, I think it was a governor, one of his people came and said, well, we want to put a third gender on the license application, gender X. And the governor said, well, I looked up, and there are 32 or 33 genders now that they're listing. Well, I don't know. They keep multiplying. And he said, so if this is what you want to do, we're going to have to debate at least an hour. We're going to have to give an hour of debate to each one of these genders to see if... And the guy said, oh, forget it. It takes too much time. I'll drop it. So, you see... This is what's happening. This is Satan trying to destroy something that God has made, okay? So what we're going to get into today is the destroyer, okay? Now, I want to go from destroyer, and we're going to go to the book of Revelation, chapter 9, okay? I'm going to read the first 12 verses, and it is where... Jesus is now, you know, Jesus is speaking to John on the Isle of Patmos, and he's showing John visions, okay? And he's telling him that he must write down the things that he sees. Now, let me start off. This is the fifth trumpet that we're talking about here, all right? And I'm not going to focus just on the fifth trumpet, but on what is the destroyer. And what is destruction? What is this all about? Okay? It says, the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Do you realize, oh my, do you realize the meaning of that verse? That verse. It isn't a meteor. It isn't a meteorite that fell. It isn't a natural star. You know what stars are in heaven? They're something as big or bigger than our sun. If anything like that fell and hit the earth, it would annihilate this earth. No, a star is a being. And I'm going to say it's a human being. These are things to come. This is not history. This is not Satan that already fell thousands of years ago. This is a man who is a star. This is a spiritual star. This is not a football player. Amen. This is not a Hollywood actor or actress. This is not a baseball star. This is not a television anchor person star. Most of these people have already fallen, or they have no place to fall from. In other words, they've never had a high place spiritually to fall from. This is a spiritual leader of some sort. Amen? I'm going to say probably a preacher of the gospel, a big-time name. And big-time name, there's quite a few candidates out there. I'm not sure that one of them hasn't already fallen and taken a bunch of them with him. Because what has fallen is the gospel truth of the Word of God has fallen, and this person had enough influence that he was given the key to the bottomless pit. In other words, the doctrine that this one was preaching was a doctrine that opened up hell and brought hell into the church. Churches. Now, was it a pope? I don't know. I have no idea. I'm not going to name any name. I don't think it could have been a pope, because I don't think it's possible for a pope to fall, because they've never, as far as I know, no pope that I ever know has ever gone into a spiritual place that he can fall from. They're already down below. And my goodness, you see the horrible things that are happening to that, I'm not even going to call it a church. That harlot system is being exposed big time. And you know what? Some of the attorney generals or whatever of New York State have decided that they're going to go and do what Pennsylvania's been doing. Massachusetts did it a long time ago. I've got a movie, if you want to see it, called Spotlight. You ought to see it, because you ought to know what that harlot is all about. Documentation. It was the Boston Globe that actually physically went after this thing. All right, it's another story. But I'm talking about a falling star. Now, he had the key to the bottomless pit. That means he was able to open up hell, the doctrines of hell, to come out. Amen. And he says, not only was he given the key, but he used the key. He says, he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. What does the sun represent? God. Smoke. Darkness. In other words, this darkness obscured the face of God himself as much as men could no longer see God because of the smoke of this thing coming out. They were seeing only this smoke. This vile thing coming out of it.
That sun is light.
Sun is light. It obscured the light. Absolutely, Rita. Thank you. Amen. God is light. Jesus, I am the light of the world. It obscured the light of the world. Mm-hmm. Could not be seen because of this. Amen. And there came out of the smoke locusts. Now remember, we talked about locusts quite some time ago. But don't look at these locusts as natural things, okay? Don't try to figure out, well, are these helicopters? Are these? No, don't look natural. I don't know what these descriptions mean, but they have a spiritual meaning. This is a spiritual thing that John is seeing. He's not seeing something natural happen. Amen? Locusts upon earth. Earth means what? The carnal realm. This thing came against the carnal Christian realm. That's what earth means, brethren. Amen? Came upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. What do? They sting, they burn. Amen? They destroy. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt, what? The grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. So, brethren, you want to be immune to these spirits, you've got to have the seal of God in your foreheads. What is the seal of God in your foreheads?
The mind of Christ.
The mind of Christ. You are sealed. You've made up your mind. This is truth. I'm not gonna waver from it. I'm not going right. I'm not going left. This is the real truth. I don't care what you say. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, the Spirit of God, I'm not going to buy it. Amen? So it was not given to hurt the green grass or the tree. Now, God is being very merciful to grass here. Grass is weak Christians, but they're still going to be protected because grass, green, is life. No? Okay. Green is not Sierra Club. It's not global warming, whatever people. Not National Geographic people. Nothing like that. It's life. A little life, nor the tree. What is the tree? A tree is a strong Christian. Amen? Tree can endure lots of drought, you know, lots of wind, lots of, you know, all, it doesn't take much to blow grass away, you know, just a little drought and the grass is all brown again, okay? A little water and the grass is back again. Well, we've had a good year for grass this year, amen?
Yeah.
Okay, now we go on. And to them it was given that they should not kill, but that they should be tormented 5 months. What's the meaning of 5 months? I don't know. Somebody said five is the number of grace. Maybe God's going to give them grace. 5 months only, okay? 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. I'm going to say stingeth, because a strike is a sting. Now remember, when we were talking about the spirit of the thief, the thief that we're talking about here is a sneak thief. It's a burglar type thief. It's not the kind that comes rolling in with tanks and blazing guns and that type of thing. He does it by deceitfulness, subtlety, conniving, you know, trick you, that kind of a thief. And the word destroy does not necessarily mean kill either. It means just ruin. Ruin it to the point where it's almost without any use anymore. We can give a couple of examples later on here. Okay? So, and in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. But I don't know the full meaning of this. There's something in this too. It says, and the shapes of the locusts were like horses. Now, horses have a spiritual meaning because it gives the meaning right here. Horses prepared unto battle. A horse is a battle instrument in the Bible, okay? Now, I know that in agricultural America, horses are agriculture instruments, like tractors, okay? But in Bible times, the horse was a battle horse, okay? They used oxen and that type of thing to plow their fields, not horses, for some reason. I don't know why. I can tell you why, because I think horses were higher maintenance. And you have to give them a lot more protein, you have to feed them grain. And grain was very precious to the people in those days. They had to eat all the grain they made. They couldn't give it to the horse. But an ox, you see, an ox can live on grass. They can make protein out of grass. And some breeds of cows are particularly good at it. For instance, the Scottish Highland beef cow is very good at that. They can live almost entirely on grass. A dairy cow? No. You have to give her lots and lots of protein and that type of thing. So the horse is a higher maintenance animal, and he's used exclusively, almost exclusively, for battle. So these locusts, be prepared for spiritual battle, brethren, okay? I think what's going on in Washington is a picture of intense spiritual battle. I don't know how some of these people can stand it that are in the midst of this thing. Even those that are on the wicked side, I don't know how they can endure and sleep at night with what's happening. Amen? It says, and they had on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. It doesn't say they were crowns. It says it's as it were crowns. So they're claiming some kind of position here also, some kind of dominion over men, okay? And their faces were as the faces of men. So you see, this is really a man-made thing. It may look like horse, it may look like locust, or it may fly like locust, but this is, it's a spirit, and men are involved in this thing, okay? Their faces are men. And they had hair as the hair of women. Well, my goodness. It's not just a gender thing of male. It's also, there's a feminine side of this thing too. I don't know, does that, what does the feminine side represent? A different kind of deception, you know? A woman is smooth, a woman is seductive, you know, there's, can be, I mean, more so than men. Am I getting into trouble? Well, women are different. You know, women have a soft and tender nature and a loving and a nurturing nature. But this thing is bad. So I'm going to say this thing is coming on with these feminine flattery type of things. Am I right? Could this fit?
Well, with the gays. The gays.
Yeah.
No, I think this is different. I think these are different women.
Yeah.
These are women that are, you know, lusting for power.
Yeah.
And nothing.
These are the Jezebel type.
Yeah.
The Hillary type.
Hillary, think Joel Grant, think...
Think of the woman over here in Massachusetts. Pocahontas.
Maxine Waters.
Maxine Waters. Oh my goodness, you listen to these women, they are vile.
That's right.
Nancy Pelosi, I mean, they just spit bullets when they talk.
What about Jennifer Warren, that other girl? The little way, the poor kid that got killed out there in Iowa.
Yeah.
So what?
Yeah, yeah. Well, that was Warren that was making those statements about her. Oh, no big deal, you know.
That's another girl.
Yeah.
That's the character of woman that's being pictured here.
It says, and they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. So here's another nature. They may look like a woman, but their teeth, what is their teeth? It's their word. It's what's coming out of their mouth. They'll bite you, they'll chew you, they'll chew you up, spit you out, whatever. When they're through with you, you're worthless. Okay? They'll deal with you like a lion. So these are bad spirits, brethren. And this what let this out of the abyss was a preacher. He opened up the door to a different Christ, a different doctrine. He opened it up, and I don't think it was just one he. I think it was a corporate he, but there was one that led them. And there were others that agreed with him. And you know what? They're going to join the harlot too. They are. And this letting this out among the... You see, we are supposed to be the salt of the earth. And what this is doing is it's destroying the salt of the earth. That we are, because we have lost our savor, we are allowing this vile interpretation of life, man, woman, marriage, what have you, we're allowing it. And our churches are not worshiping God, they're worshiping rock music, what have you. Amen? It opened the door, and when it happened to the Christians, it opened the floodgate into the people of the world, because the righteous were no longer able to hold back that flood. Am I making any sense? Okay. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, hearts of iron, hard hearts.
They can't be changed.
They can't be changed. Breastplates of iron, And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots and of many horses running to battle. It's a spiritual sound. It's not a natural sound. Remember Elisha. Wasn't it Elisha? No. It wasn't Elisha. It was in the days of one of the kings after Jehu, when the Syrians had surrounded the city, and they were just camped there. They weren't allowing anybody to come and go. People were eating. They were selling an ass's head for so much. And then the one woman came and complained that she killed her baby, and they had an agreement that the next time they needed a meal, the other woman was going to kill her baby. And the king was he wasn't a very good king, but he was he was wearing sackcloth. And then there were these guys, the beggars, but they were lepers. They were lepers outside the gate. They were outside the gate, and they said, "What have we got to lose? Let's go over to the Syrians. They'll either, we're going to die anyway. They'll either feed us or they'll kill us. So what difference is it going to make? So we live another day or two, but hey, we might live." And what had happened is the sound of horses and chariots running is what stampeded the whole camp of the Syrians. They fled, left everything behind. Remember that? What's the name of that king? One of those that start with a J. Joash or something like that. I can't remember. We barely touched on it a while ago. Okay, so it says, and they had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. Well, by the way, remember Tommy Cook? What did Tommy Cook say about the tail ministry? The false prophet. The tail ministry is the false prophet. And it's in the Word. It's in the Word of God. So here's a false prophet ministry that is also, in the end, it biteth like an adder. Remember? They give you, this is the kind of thing that gives you the pleasure at first, but the tail end of the thing is really going to be pretty bad. It isn't going to give you the reward that you were looking for. Okay? Amen. And they had a king over them, which was the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue was Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two more woes hereafter. All right, so this was right after the angel said, woe, woe, woe. There are three woes coming. This is the first woe. Amen. Now, the word Apollyon was the same word that Jesus used when he said, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to Apollyon. Okay? And it is so interesting here in Revelation that it's given in English, because this is an English Bible, and in Greek, and in Hebrew. So what God is saying here is you can find this thing in the New Testament in your time, and you can find the origin of this thing in the Old Testament as well. And if you go back in the Old Testament to Exodus chapter 12, and let's go back there for a minute, we're going to find the beginning of the first mention of Apollyon. I think it's the first mention. Okay? Now, I know that God used the word, and I'm not sure what word he used when he said, I'm going to destroy the earth and all of mankind, and the end of all flesh has come before me. He used the word destroy, but I'm not sure it's the same word. And by the way, would you be interested to know how that word is, how the word, our English word, is used in the Old Testament? Do you realize this is a copy of two pages from the Strong's? No, it's not the Strong's Concordance. It's the Wilson's Word Studies, Old Testament Word Studies. Two pages. There are 55 Hebrew words that are all in English destroy or destroyer. 55 Hebrew words. Now we can make more English words because it all, let me just give you a sample of what some of these words are. Here's one, to perish. Here's one, a heavy calamity. Here's one, to bear one's guilt. Here's one, consumption. Here's one, treading down. Here's one, swallow up, to cause to disappear. To drag, to sweep away as a whirlwind. To destroy as with pestilence. To be broken, to break in pieces. I mean, the Hebrew has all these specific little words. If you said that word, I mean, in the end it's going to destroy it. Let me give you a few more. To cause to cease, to destroy, to be silent, to throw into commotion, disturbance, to discomfort, to kill, to slay, to pull, to tear down, to act perversely, corruptly, passing away, to be dried up, lay waste, breaking in pieces, violent, raging, cruel, take possession, dispossess, disinherit, calamity, make a full end, to utterly destroy, to cut off, to beat to pieces, to overthrow, to perish, to be destroyed, to wipe off, to wipe away, to blot out, pluck up, cut down. I mean, that's just half of the words. Now, are you getting a picture of the nature of this spirit? This is the devil. Now, I'm not saying that God can use destruction as well. Because remember, he was talking to Abraham, and he told Abraham, they were standing there where they could look down and see Sodom. He said, I'm going to destroy it. And Abraham said to God, will you destroy the righteous with the wicked? Now, Abraham used a different word the first time. He didn't use the word annihilate, destroy. What he said is, will you shave, will you scrape down the righteous when you destroy the wicked? In other words, are you really gonna be cruel to the righteous while you're destroying the wicked? I mean, what does shave down, to cut down, to scrape off? It was a different word. So Abraham was asking God about that, you know, and then God would say no, and then they were kind of using different words as they went on with their conversation. No, I won't do it if you can find so many. And they got down to 10, I think it was, and finally they let him go. Now, consider how God then eventually dealt with Lot and his family. You see, Lot was actually exempt from the actual act of destruction. He lost his home, yes, he lost that, but their persons was not lost, okay? Their soul did not have to be lost. I mean, God even listened to Lot and said, well, can't I just go to, it's a tiny little city, I mean, it's just a little fort, you know, can't I go in there? And my soul live. See? Well, God said, okay, all right, you can go in there. But you know what? When Lot finally saw what God was doing, he said, I don't even want this place. This place is not much better than Sodom. I'm out of here. I'm going to go live in a cave. Well, we know the rest of the story. All right, so This is the destruction in Exodus. This is the destroyer now that is going to be let loose. Okay, I'm going to make a statement. I hope I'm right. That this was a fallen angel, demonic being. I don't think it's Satan, but I think, you know, everything you talk about hell and all these others are Satan. They're all alike. But some of them, I believe, are absolutely worse than others. I think this is a being named Apollyon or Abaddon, depending on whether you want to say it in Hebrew or Greek. God had to keep, you know, I've heard other people say, I think I heard Brother Campbell say this too, that there are demonic beings so evil and wicked that God has to keep them locked up in chains of darkness. And there are brethren who I believe have had visions and seen these, and God can only allow them loose on very rare occasions, and when he does, they are very limited to what they can do. And then they go back and but as soon as they get loose, hell breaks loose. They're going to kill everything in their path. I mean, they're just going to, like a bulldozer going through to just mashing everything in their way. This is something that God is going to let loose over Egypt. Now, you think the first 9 plagues were bad, okay? The 9th one was actually darkness. One of them was actually locusts. That wasn't yet the destroyer. So here's what he said. I'll read you the verse. It's in Exodus 12. I'll read you the verse 13. He says, "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." Now, God is taking responsibility for this destroyer. But God himself is not doing it. He's releasing this devil to do it. And he's also saying that I will give you a Passover. I will give you a cover, okay, that when I see the blood, I will put that covering. The blood will be a covering for you. And this thing will not come to you or your house when I let that destroyer loose. Because what's going to happen is this blood is going to be something so powerful and light and blinding that when that spirit of darkness comes and sees that blood, he's going to have to, no, I can't go there. And this is what our soul is supposed to be in these times of darkness. Our soul is supposed to be the brightness of the reflection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Get thee behind me, Satan. You have no place with me. All right, let's go on. Oh my, so much. And now verse 22. "And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin and strike the lintel and the 2 side posts with the blood that is in the basin, and none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning." In other words, this is the night. This is the time of darkness. The time of darkness, you do not go out of the house. Now, I don't mean your natural house. I mean you do not leave the house of God. Amen? There's only one place you can be protected, and that's in Christ. Hallelujah. Under the shadow of the Almighty. He says, "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians." He's taking responsibility again for this destroyer. He's got a bit in his mouth. He's got reins on him. He's got limits to what he can do. Amen. "And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and the 2 side posts, the Lord will pass over the door." And listen to this. Now you think God? No. "And will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." So, God will prevent that destroyer from coming to destroy you. The thief cometh to destroy. Amen? Now, I was going to give a couple of examples of people, not people that I know personally. Yes, I do know people personally, but I'm not going to talk about them. Amen. From the Bible, that's a safe place to get it. Take the lost son. We mentioned him last week, didn't we? What happened to this lost son? Lost coin, lost sheep, lost son. Amen. He spent his inheritance in riotous living. Now, riotous does not mean there was a riot in the streets and they were throwing bottles and what have. That isn't what riotous living means. It means that he was living a reckless, pleasure-filled, buying all the pleasures he could possibly think of to buy. Alcohol, sex, whatever there was. Fast this, fast that, fast life, you know, parties. That was the life he was living. And of course, that kind of a lifestyle eventually runs out of gas. And you know what? It runs out of gas for these big, big money people too. Do you know that?
Hollywood celebrities.
Hollywood celebrities running out of gas. They show pictures of them in the National Enquirer. They're weighing 70 pounds, you know, and they're only 50 years old. Whatever. I don't know if these pictures are true or not, but... But anyway, the message is the life in the fast lane is not paying off. And then they post all these big million-dollar divorces that this one and that one's going through. You know, the life in the fast lane is not paying off. Amen? It's destruction. These people's lives are being destroyed. Amen? In one of the songs we sing, I asked Reed if we could sing that song. What, this woman at the well. What did the measure of the song say? Her life was wrecked and ruined. Her soul was bound for hell. Amen? The destroyer had got to that woman. My goodness. You know what? Our city is full of people like that. Full. We've got relatives. We've got grandchildren, what have you, I don't know, I'm sure, in-laws, same condition. Their life is come under the destroyer. And you know what? Many of them don't even know it. But their soul is bound for hell. Amen. God help them. All right, just a couple. Now, let me give you just a couple more verses. I'm going to move it along here. I found some interesting verses in Psalms and Proverbs. And not, like I said, there's 55 words that say destroyer, Hebrew words, and I don't know how many hundred English words. You can't, all of them don't mean the same thing, in other words. But I found a few interesting ones. Let me go to Psalms 17. How many of you have ever spent time in Psalm 17? I'm going to go back to verse... Let's start in the first verse here. We're just going down to verse 4 and 5. So, hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear to my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Madeline was telling about the vision she had where the angels were taking the prayers from the lips. Feigned lips, false lips, false, you know, I don't care what I say, I don't mean what I say, you know. These are prayers where you mean what you say. Amen? Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Amen. That are upright. He's talking about his vindication. Amen. Let my vindication come. Okay. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me, tested me. Amen. In the night, thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Now listen to this. See, David is setting himself up here in this prayer so that the destroyer will have no ground to him. No place, no access, no open door, no way. Concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. You see, there are paths that you can begin to go down, decisions that you can begin to make that are going to take you the path of the destroyer. You may not even realize it. Innocent decision. Oh, I just decided to do this. Oh, I decided to do that. Oh, wow, all of a sudden, where did everything go? I mean, my life is becoming ruined. What happened? Okay? Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. So you see, there's the blood. There's the blood covering on the post and the lintel of our mind, our soul, our being. But there's the actions that we take also that keep us from the path of the destroyer. We have to walk in obedience, not just say, oh, I'm under the blood, you know. There has to be more than that. Okay. Proverbs has a couple of interesting verses. Proverbs chapter 6. Verse 32. Oh, here we are. I'll start with verse 30. By the way, this whole chapter here is a warning not to get involved in adultery, okay? Sexual sin, especially adultery, okay? Verse 30, men do not despise a thief if he steals to satisfy his soul when he is hungry. In other words, okay, he stole, maybe he shouldn't have the death penalty. Give him a little mercy, okay? That's what it's saying. But if he be found, in other words, if he's caught, he's still going to have to pay. If he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. He shall give all the substance of his house. That's still a pretty stiff penalty, but he's allowed to live. Now listen to this. But whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding, and he that doeth it destroyeth his own soul. So you see, going even beyond, here's another sin. Okay, you say, well, sin is sin is sin. Well, here's a sin that is worse than stealing because you're hungry. This one is going to destroy your soul. Because you're going to be taking in some big, bad spirits if you go down this path. Amen? I hear some amens. Did I hear some amens? Yes, okay. Not amens because you've been there, but because you know you've seen other people. Amen. Proverbs 11, verse 9, a very interesting verse. Let's go back to verse 8. Try to get a little context here in this. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. In other words, the righteous are delivered from trouble, but the wicked get into trouble. How many of you know the righteous can be delivered from trouble? Amen? How many know you can be delivered from trouble if you're righteous? Okay? Yeah, God calls him righteous Lot. I call him compromising Lot, outer court Lot, whatever. But still, God called him righteous Lot. You know, I think he was righteous Lot partly because of his uncle Abraham praying for him. Abraham had to love that rascal. You know?
If it's not a sin unto death,
pray. Yeah. So, okay. Now, verse 9. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. So you see, we can become partakers, we can become agents of the spirit of destruction with our mouth. I mean, isn't this what's going on with some of this news and CNN and then what have you going on day after day after day? It's all destructive, it's hatred, it's venom, it's meant to destroy. That's the sole purpose, and it's going out over the airways here, there, the other place. It's becoming far more destructive. They're not just reporting news anymore. Well, Joe Blow won the golf game, you know, and John Doe won the ball game, and okay, well, Congress passed a new law today. No, it's not that anymore. It's looking for dirt, destruction. Okay, that was brother Proverbs there. All right, finally, 1 Corinthians. I was surprised to find this in 1 Corinthians. I was very surprised to find this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Oh my, I'd love to read the whole chapter 10. But the first part of the chapter 10 is all of our fathers were under the cloud, they were and in the sea, they were all baptized into Moses. They all partook of the same thing, they all partook of the same water, the same bread. In other words, they all became one in the experience that they went through, okay? And all did drink of the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. How many of you really can believe that that rock was Christ? There was a rock following them. Everywhere they went, there was this rock. And this rock was giving them what they needed. Now, they didn't believe that that rock was Christ. And I suspect that Moses probably didn't believe it either. He wouldn't have hauled off and whacked it with a rod the time that he did. He didn't know. But now we're seeing truths now in what Paul is saying in Corinthians. We're seeing truths that were not understood back then. All right? So let's go on. Where do I want to get to? Yeah, I'll move along. And many of them here's the negative side. For many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, overthrown here, I think, is a word equivalent let's see, this is verse 5. They were strewn. Probably one of those destroy words. They were scattered, strewn, destroyed, whatever. They were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Now what was the matter with leeks and garlics and things? Was that evil? No. What was the matter with lusting after water? Was there something wrong with that? No, it was the attitude that they went about it. They went about it murmuring and complaining and suggesting that they need new leadership, we need to get somebody to take us back to Egypt, you know, and they began to curse God. That was what they were doing. But they were actually lusting too. It says, neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. What they have? They had a golden calf at that time.
That's Linda talking about the churches today.
Yeah, the golden calf.
Yeah, that's what they do. Eat, drink, and play.
Yeah.
That's all they want.
That's what life is all about. Eat, drink, and play, and be merry. Yeah, okay. So, no, I didn't mean that as I'm saying it. Okay. And by the way, you know what happened that day? A lot of them died.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. 32,000.
Yeah. Neither let us commit fornication. All right. Oh, that was involved too. As some of them committed and fell one day 23,000. I think they were involved in that as well at the time of the golden calf. That rising up to play, I think that was included. But this may be referring to in the plains of Moab, when the Moabite woman came into the Hebrew tent, and the Hebrews were trying to repent, and Phinehas saw it. All I can remember is her name was Cosby. I forget his name. Why can I remember her name so well? Okay. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. All right, there's the first evidence of the destroyer. Destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. So it appears that God also, in a limited manner, I one time said he only let that thing out at the time of the Passover, and it's never going to let him out again until Revelation. I think I'm going to have to backpedal that, because it says here that God let him loose again and destroyed a whole bunch of Hebrews. Let's say God's people. Let's say Christians. A whole bunch of Christians were destroyed. No, I know they weren't called Christians back then. You know that. But it would be, this is what the people of God are called today, Christians, right? God's people were destroyed. Are God's people being destroyed today? Yes. And maybe they don't know it. Some of them are being destroyed in their natural circumstances. The canker worm, the palmer worm, eating up everything they've got, eating all their resources. Yeah? Okay, but it's the destruction of the soul that's also going on. Amen? Now, these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So let me just take the time and go back into the book of Numbers and find those two examples of where the destroyer was able to come in and work his destruction. One is in chapter 14, the other is in chapter 21. Now, you know what happened in Numbers chapter 14, don't you? By the way, a little history here. Chapter 12, Miriam and Aaron rebel against their brother Moses. Miriam gets leprosy, gets put out of the camp for how long was it?
7 days.
Oh, seems though it was longer than seven. But anyway, a period of time. Let me see if I can see how long she was put out. She was leprous, and anyone... Yeah, 7 days. You're right, Reed. It was 7 days. Okay. Chapter 13 is now they are sent into Canaan land. The spies, the 12 spies, are sent in to prepare to go in and take the kingdom, okay? And they came back with an evil report, and verse 32, and they brought an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came out of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. In other words, this was their thinking about themselves in regards to facing these spirits. They didn't believe that they were able to overcome. Listen, we've got to believe the word of God. If you're going to overcome, if you're going to defeat the thief, if you're going to defeat the destroyer, you have to believe that you can do it. And you have to begin to put into place the decisions and pay the price and begin to walk the walk that will overcome and destroy these things. You know, you can live, I have nothing, God has nothing against you living with all your needs met, that you're not struggling, that you're not in debt, that you're not $100,000 behind on your credit cards and what have you. God doesn't want you living in that place. But you know what? I don't think he's going to send you a lottery ticket to get you out of it either. Because you know, More people had been ruined by winning million-dollar lotteries than I have only heard of one man that was not ruined that won the lottery. And he gave it away to people that were deserving. He didn't keep it himself. Other people have gone on the same way, these Hollywood celebrities, and have lived a life of riot and excess and have just ruined their souls. No, God is able to deliver you. Brethren, God is able to deliver you that you will have all the things that you need, and it will not be continual harassment by the collector or the IRS or whoever it happens to be. Amen? You can live that way. Do you believe me? Let me hear an amen.
Amen.
There we go. Okay. I don't ask for it often. I want to make sure we're reading from the same book here. Okay? So, I'm getting down to Numbers 14 now. And verse 4. And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return to Egypt. They wanted a new president. Basically, Moses, they wanted a new election. They hadn't elected him to begin with. It was God that chose him. All right? And they were rebellious. All right, get down to verse 36 in chapter 14, verse 36. Here it is. It says, and the men which Moses sent to search the land, who returned and made all the congregation to murmur against him. Boy, murmur. God does not like murmur, does he? Amen. By bringing up a slander upon the land, even those men that did bring up an evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. It sounds like 10 men died right there. And those that believed it eventually died. Let me go to chapter 21 now. The Numbers is a very interesting book, by the way. And I promise, sister, that I will get to Hosea. I'm going to have to seek the Lord here on that, but it'll take a little while. Okay, chapter 21. Now, let's go down. Okay, it says, let's start at the beginning here. It's only a few verses. And the king of Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelled in the south, heard tell that Israel came by the way of the spies. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people unto my hand, I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. Okay? And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. We hate this food. We don't like the bread that we're getting. We don't like the word that we're getting. We don't like to hear that. Can't you give us some zip and some zoom and some prosperity teaching? Oh, hallelujah. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much of the people of Israel died. Now that's what is meant in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that he sent the destroyer in. And the destroyer happened. Isn't it interesting? The destroyer came in the way of a serpent. And isn't this the first act of destruction was a serpent in the Garden of Eden. And he went after what he thought was the weak link, which was Eve. And I don't know whether Eve was there when God gave the first instruction to Adam. Adam had a responsibility to fully inform Eve of everything, to hold nothing back. Whether he gave her everything, we don't know. But he went for it, and what happened? What happened to Eden? Eden was destroyed. Man was driven out. We have no idea what happened back there, but as far as man was concerned, that way of life was destroyed. Now,
Eden was.
Well, cut off. As far as Adam was concerned, his life of Eden was destroyed. Let me put it that way. All right. Now, Eden is still in God's heart. And there is still Eden that God wants to bring us back to. And that is the fullness of the kingdom of God. And you know what? Eden is going to appear on this earth. Men are going to live in peace and harmony. Amen. The curse is going to be removed. Amen. We're not going to be fighting slugs and snails and things that eat up everything that we try to grow, and weeds and thorns and thistles. And the earth is going to function as it was meant to function. Amen. The weather, the storms, the global whatever change, it's going to function the way God ordained it to function.
Are you talking millennium or new earth?
It doesn't matter. It's going to happen. All right. There's coming a time when it's going to happen, and man is going to enjoy the peace and prosperity of living in the fullness of God. Amen. And that's all I have to say about that.